Hey, I'm Dennis Keskin, and these are the Red Bull Basement Sessions.
As director of brand management at the renowned German sports car manufacturer Porsche, Dennis Keskin knows more than most about innovation.
For anyone who wants to challenge the status quo, there comes a time when you have to be a little bit creative.
In Dennis's world, it's all about creating and devising and leading and managing.
When you can tell people, look, told you so, it's possible.
Whilst making sure that the team lives up to a long-held reputation for excellence, luxury, style, and speed.
Also, when you see the reaction of people, they do not just see these cars and look at them from a purely technological aspect. They have an emotional connection to what they see.
When working on the front line of innovation, there are always going to be challenges along the way.
In a very paradox way, sometimes revisiting the past can be a really good inspiration for tackling problems of the future. And Porsche is a company that is really ideally placed for that kind of contradiction.
And today on the Red Bull Basement Sessions, Dennis will be sharing his top tips on how to thrive in a competitive world that is constantly changing.
Hi, I'm Dennis Keskin. I'm responsible for brand management and partnerships in the Porsche marketing headquarters here in Stuttgart.
Are you ready for a few quickfire questions? Breakfast or no breakfast?
Oh, that's a difficult one. The reality is no breakfast because I tend to get up pretty early and then I'm not hungry and don't have the time. But if I have the chance to get up at a time that allows me to have breakfast, I absolutely love breakfast.
All right. So on those days when you do get a chance to have some brekkie, what is your go-to?
Porridge, actually. So my wife got me acquainted with the love of porridge maybe a year ago. So that's my go-to. Absolutely.
Old school newspaper or a news app?
Old school newspaper. Every time.
Are you a regular newspaper person?
Yeah, and I also read a lot on the smartphone as well. But I think the process of having a, you know, printed newspaper, I just notice how much more of that stays in my head as opposed to what I see on a digital screen and scroll through.
Okay, so do you keep a to-do list? And if you do, is it on your phone, your laptop, or are you old school and go paper?
I got a third option for you. It's a long, long Excel list that I have on my laptop. And actually, I use a system that I kind of developed in 2004. Sometimes people laugh at me, colleagues, because I tend to open up my Excel file and then, you know, type in things there. But for me, it's working so far. So
having fear or having no fear, which is better?
Having fear. I think fear is, and I'm a father of three children, so maybe I'm a little bit, biased by my daily observations of those. But I think fear is a good thing because it keeps you on the toes. Not the kind of fear that kind of, you know, paralyzes you and doesn't make you do things, but the right amount of fear and respect I would definitely prefer versus being the totally fearless guy who stumbles from catastrophe to catastrophe.
How do you keep determined even when others tell you whatever you're doing is impossible?
Well, I just love to prove people wrong. That's a very, very selfish and egoistic comment. But I mean, that's one of the best feelings in the world when you can tell people, look, told you so, it's possible.
Can you describe a moment where you've maybe had to break the rules in order to succeed?
You know, I work in a company with 37,000 people. So you can only work in a company this size if you have a clear set of rules, strategies, and everyone is accepting them. Otherwise, you can not work here. But the interesting thing is, I think every now and then, we all know that you have to challenge some of the rules, unwritten ones and written ones, because for anyone who wants to challenge the status quo, there comes a time when you have to be a little bit creative.
Okay, well, they were the quickfire questions. So now it's time to move on to the main part of the show. So global innovators and their entrepreneurial spirit is what Red Bull Basement is all about at its core. So how does your work force you to innovate?
Well, I'm in marketing. So we have that curious type of people that we call consumers or customers to be taken care of. And yeah, what can I tell you? I mean, they change their preferences and what's important to them all of the time. I think in marketing, if you're not innovative, then somehow you have the wrong job, right? Because, you know, when I started to work in marketing in 2000, you know, back then, there was no iPhone, there was no social media. And I mean, if I think back of the time, sometimes I wonder, how did we keep ourselves occupied? The fact that I deal now with topics, channels, inventions, devices that haven't been there 10 years ago, But finding always the right way for my company to use these tools is extremely passionate for me. But I think it's always been a great inspiration for me also to work for a company with a heritage like Porsche. I mean, I have the great privilege in the office I'm working, so where I'm now doing the recording, it's a 7 minutes walk to the Porsche Museum. It's interesting because when you go there, you see all of these people from all around the world, and you see how they go there and how they react to the cars that are on display there. And it just gives you that sense of almost, for lack of better wording, responsibility, because you see everything that came before your precise moment in time. So sometimes you go there and you see a car of the 60s or 70s, or, you know, a piece of advertising or anything related to that. And it gives you a really interesting parallel to problems that you still have today, maybe from another angle. In a very paradox way, sometimes revisiting the past can be a really good inspiration for tackling problems of the future. And Porsche is a company that is really ideally placed for that kind of contradiction, if you like.
You know, walking through the past of this company, you know, using this museum, must give you some sense of lineage and connection. Does this fill you with inspiration as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And also some, I mean, I was not involved in 99.9% of these things that you see there, but it still gives you a sense of pride and, as I said, responsibility, because also when you see the reaction of people, they do not just see these cars and look at them from a purely technological aspect. They have an emotional connection to what they see. And that is, a great motivator for me.
So taking a look at your background, I can see that you studied economics at university, but I'm just trying to connect the dots here. How did you end up at Porsche?
I started in the digital marketing team. And when you go back to the year 2000, when I did my internship, digital marketing was not what everyone did like today. It was, you know, something that was considered to be extremely exotic for a small amount of people. And I did that for a couple of years. And then the whole thing got another twist and another boost, you know, when we entered the age of social media and smartphones. So at the end of the noughties, because that really completely changed the game. And after that, I took the decision to almost look at the other side of the marketing. At that time, I said jokingly, the dark side of marketing. So basically anything that is analog, printed, classic media. After that, I was also responsible for communication strategy. And then in 2018, so a bit more than 3 years ago, I moved to my current role, which is to be responsible for brand management and partnerships. I really love this job because it's one of the few occasions that you actually have where you can help to determine the future course of a company like Porsche. So safeguarding that, making sure that the brand stays attractive and relevant going forward, is, in the most simple terms, my preoccupation.
Is there any advice you can give to somebody on how to foster innovation or growth within their own company?
That's a million-dollar question, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I think there are two ingredients in my personal view that you have for innovation. I think there are two ways of innovation. There is, if you like, selfish innovation, innovation for the sake of innovation, and there is real pragmatic innovation. And I think especially in my field of expertise, marketing, we always have to try to find the pragmatic one. And pragmatic one is, I innovate and create something that consumers, that customers actually use and love. That's the ultimate purpose. Of course, you can do something that's not been there before, but if it's not interesting anyone, if it's not, you know, creating benefits for what you do on a daily basis, then, as I said, it's a very selfish way of innovating. So I think first you have to have a really clear and acute understanding of what these people need. And of course, you have to take that with a pinch of salt, because you cannot ask people, what do you want in 10 years and get the right answer. So it's more about observing, you know, connecting the right dots, and that's something I personally love, also draw the right conclusions, which is a little bit of a detective's work. And also at the end of the day, you have also to trust your judgment a little bit in order to be able to come to the right conclusions. And so for me, the big question is how we can create an atmosphere where people are actually, you know, trusting their brain work and also find the openness to speak what they think. Because at the end of the day, I think a lot of innovation gets lost the moment that people are judging themselves before they, you know, say an idea or get out with something. The moment people are thinking, oh, should I really say that? Or how am I being looked upon if I say that out in public? Then things get complicated. So creating an atmosphere where people can just speak their mind and not fear judgment, I think that's really important in the moments where you try to create that creative atmosphere.
So how do you ensure that Porsche remains competitive with other manufacturers when it comes to innovation?
It's about a good understanding of the market desires. You know, it's about also, as I said, being able to preempt some developments. But the other thing is, and that's always, I guess, been characteristic for Porsche, not to rest on your laurels and always be a little bit on the watch and also to evolve. I mean, if you think of Porsche as a company in our product offer, because I guess many people will say, yeah, Porsche has always been that interesting sports car brand, and that's what they've been doing for 70 years. When I started to work for Porsche, for instance, we had basically two model lines, 911 and the Boxster, as it was called then. And what has happened since then, you know, going into the SUV business, going into the limousine business, and not just copying what other people do, but giving the Porsche spin and the Porsche credibility to the solutions, that has completely transformed our business. And now if you look at the electric side of things, it's there. Then you have to take into account that, of course, we have digital offerings around our car that are just as important going forward, that you also have, and I try to use that as an example when we talked about the next generation of buyers, we have these flexible usage offers that we introduced. So there's a constant evolution going on. Although you are where you are, you still try to put yourself in the mindset of someone who's at the start. I think that's really vital. And I think that's also, yes, I'm biased, of course, as a Porsche employee, but that's what I think where our company is pretty good at. Not stopping where we are and being also modest and humble and then starting all over again the next day.
So you've spoken a lot about how you are responding to changes in the industry. So I guess my questions are, what are those changes? Like, how are attitudes towards car ownership changing, and where do you see the future of mobility?
Yeah, again, that's a really good and important question. I think the first thing we have to see is that attitude towards cars is changing in general in our society. So I was born in 78, and when I was 18, for me, the car was the ultimate consumption goal, if you like. So having a driving license, having a car, although it was a very affordable one, but that was my entry in freedom, in self-determination, in getting to the places I wanted to be. And that's something that has, in my, I think, heart and mind, always created a very romantic place for cars. That kind of liberation feeling that I just described when I was 18, that's not so relevant for a lot of people anymore. And that's why maybe for some people, this emotional connection to cars is a little bit changing. The second one is, of course, that we have to respond to sustainability, and that we have to be honest that whatever you deliver, it cannot cause lasting harm to this planet. This is why we have, as you know, very consequentially also developed an electric version of Porsche. And I think the customer feedback shows that it was the absolute right thing to do, and a great way of getting into that.
You recently helped to design a new Porsche for a video game. Is this directly related to trying to keep up with changing attitudes of younger audiences?
It's interesting because Porsche has always been really active in gaming. Let's put it that way. So gaming has been a really natural habitat of ours. And yes, it's a reason why a lot of young people develop their passion for Porsche. So for instance, I'm one of these guys who love Need for Speed Porsche Edition, and it certainly helped me to develop an affinity towards the brand. Again, we talk about partnerships, by the way, because Gran Turismo, one of the greatest games there is. We decided to develop that car, that virtual car, almost like a bow to that community, because in that game there are so many people who love Porsche, who love to play our cars, who have such an intimate knowledge of our cars, they could work in the museum here and tell people about it, that we thought we should give them a present. And that's how we decided to go for the development of the Porsche Vision GT. That's how it's called. What was really interesting is the moment that we then find people in the company that helped us to develop the car, you couldn't stop them. So it was almost like a full development of a real vehicle, you know, the designers, the engineers, and they really put their the same kind of energy and passion into developing that virtual product. And I don't want to, you know, present something in an environment like that is half-baked and not true to what a Porsche should always deliver. Yeah, I'm very much hoping that in a couple of years' time, you will look at that moment and say, yeah, that's been the beginning of, you know, also transcending the physical world and trying to build things that help us to be successful in the virtual one as well.
So that was Dennis Keskin, Porsche's Director of Brand Management. And it was great hearing how innovation comes in all these different forms, especially in a place that's just constantly changing. Next time, we meet Brinley Kidd and Sylvia Lopez, who recently won the Red Bull Basement Global Final.
Hey, we're Team Jotted.
We just won the Red Bull Basement Global Final,
and we're on a mission to help students overcome the challenges of digital learning.
We meet Brinley and Sylvia to find out how they're going to take their winning idea to the next level, starting from their dorm room. Red Bull Basement is not just a podcast. It's an initiative to support impactful, feasible, and creative tech ideas from student innovators from around the world and support these changemakers in realizing their vision. Follow Red Bull Basement sessions on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And visit redbullbasement.com to find more stories from innovators who are driving positive change around the world.